First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm so happy to be sitting here in Alan's big chair while he is on assignment. I'm Karen Cataline, and commentator, columnist, all-around rabble-rouser, and Alan Nathan, yes, that's it, getting into the chair for the first time in a week. Alan Nathan would like you to know and be reminded of his motto. We want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We'll tell you more about that where you can listen to the archives of the Alan Nathan Show. But first, we have our very first guest, a friend of the program. We hear from her often, Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, MPH, that's Masters in Public Health for you and me. She is also known as the Terrorist Therapist and hosts both the Terrorist Therapist Show and Dr. Carol's Couch on voiceamerica.com. She's also a board-certified Beverly Hills psychiatrist and a three-time Emmy-honored TV news talk commentator. Dr. Carol Lieberman, always a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you. My pleasure as well.
Over the weekend, we heard a surprising, and I hate to say not surprising, announcement that Joe Biden has prostate cancer, a very advanced cancer. We got to just be honest and straightforward and say that everybody in America knows that prostate cancer is the easiest to diagnose and treat. Our loved ones, male fathers, grandfathers, they take PSA tests. They know that it's like a mammogram for women. What say you? Everybody's postulating, speculating about what's going on. What do you think, Dr. Carol Lieberman, about that?
Well, first of all, that was either gross malpractice or, you know, perhaps he refused to let his doctor, you know, do the test or you know, besides the PSA blood test. And, you know, that doesn't take an extra blood test, you know, on your annual exams. Part of the annual exam is blood being drawn for all kinds of tests. And it is beyond comprehension that they did not send his blood, include in the test, group of tests, PSA. Because it's just really for men over 50, it's a you know, no brainer. That's what you do. Some men even want it before 50. So, you know, I was never very impressed with his doctor to begin with, Dr. O'Connor, Kevin O'Connor. He always seemed to me like Doogie Howser. You know, Doogie.
Yeah.
You know that television show?
I do.
And so, you know. I mean, even if, like, it's hard for me to understand why he wouldn't have insisted on including the PSA.
With all respect, a video dropped just this morning, so I can understand why you didn't see it. I did radio this morning. Biden admitted 2 years ago on a video that he had cancer. All right? The Democrats called it a gaffe. And by the way, the only time the Democrats are willing to admit he was old and confused and had dementia was when he accidentally told the truth accidentally, right? So we always, good people always try desperately to ascribe good intentions to people who've proven again and again, this is a psych issue, right, Dr. Lieberman? And then we find out that we've been lied to and lied to and lied to, and we're wanting to ascribe good intentions to people by saying they were incompetent or they just missed it, when down deep in our heart, we don't want to admit, maybe it's a psychology about us, that we don't want to admit that people could be that evil. But to parade a puppet out in public and not tell the public that he has cancer and he has dementia, the dementia part, of course, we could all see with our own eyes. Your thoughts?
Yes. Well, first of all, I was talking about Biden having dementia. I think I was the first one publicly.
You were.
When he was in his basement, I said he had encroaching dementia. And, of course, we have all seen it encroach ever since.
I remember.
You know, yeah. And yes, I do remember what you're talking about. But, you know, I think he had, it was never said that he had prostate cancer. I think it was that he had skin cancer. Like it was fluffed off. Like it was just a minor thing. And now actually his doctor is saying that he has some nodule or some kind of something on his chest, which
advanced,
I guess could be
cancer. Oh, advanced. Right. Exactly.
So, but you know what else is interesting? And a lot of people don't realize this. If you have some kind of a big loss or disappointment, like whether it's maybe your spouse died or a parent died, or in Biden's case, he was told to get out of the White House. When you have some kind of a huge disappointment like that, you are more vulnerable to get cancer as a consequence, like the stress of it affects your body. And
yes, but this kind of cancer takes 5 to 10 years to develop.
Well, it depends. Some grow faster than others. But yes, it is thought that his, because it's so advanced, may well have started, you know, even a decade ago, or certainly during the time he was in the White House. That is true. So it's hard to know, and it's hard to know which is worse, that he lied to us. That was just one of the many things that he lied about his health about, or that the doctor was incompetent and maybe he'll sue him from malpractice. It's a lot of different things could happen. But certainly, and I was just watching a doctor say, and I think he was an oncologist, talk about how that he hasn't gotten a PSA test, and people say that if you're 70, you shouldn't get a PSA test. I mean, that it's absurd. You know, what he's talking about, I think, is that medicine has changed a lot, unfortunately, and we don't do all the things that we used to do and should do to diagnose things. In other words, like if it's thought that,
but PSA tests are done routinely in men. My husband had one, you know, after a certain age. They just do.
It depends on your doctor. Some doctors who are concerned about not wasting all, you know, our health access to health or health budget or whatever. I mean, for example, sometimes people will say if PSA is high, sometimes they'll say, well, we'll just watch it.
And Dr. Lieberman, are you saying that the President of the United States, previously the Vice President of the United States, was on the receiving end of the worst possible health care because of costs?
Certainly that should not include him. Absolutely.
You know it didn't. These people have a track record of lying to the American public for their own political gain.
Absolutely. He lied about his dementia. I am not questioning that. That is true.
No, others lied about his dementia. Go ahead. Sorry. I mean,
everybody lied about his dementia. I think he must have suspected it himself. But,
they're blaming him for not dropping out. If he has dementia, then he's certainly not cognizant enough whether he should drop. Beto O'Rourke blamed him. I'm sorry. I'm getting worked up here. I need a therapist. I really do. That's insane.
I'm not saying that he didn't lie about all kinds of things. You know, he had lots of other medical problems. He had heart problems. He had two brain leads from an aneurysm. He had lots of health problems before he began his presidency. So I am not saying that he didn't lie about these things, but I'm also blaming the doctor.
I'm not disagreeing with you there. I'll stipulate that. Let me read you what Buck Sexton said on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Their real plan was to hide Biden's dementia long enough to get him reelected. Then shortly after his second term starts, he steps down due to the cancer diagnosis. The whole dementia issue becomes moot. Biden retires a hero. If not for Trump, they would have pulled it off, too. Whoa! I'm telling you, I wish I could keep you for another segment. I didn't mean to, beat you up there. No, I mean, we're MOTs. We love to mix it up, and then we go have lunch, right? Yeah. How do people find you, real quick?
Well, they can find me on touristtherapist.com or expertwitnessforensicpsychiatrist.com.
Wonderful. Lots of letters after your name. Dr. Carol Lieberman, thank you so much for joining us always on The Alan Nathan Show. We'll be right back.
It's no secret that everyone wants to live a healthier life, but how many of us really do what it takes to make that happen? A new book lays out easy steps you can take to bring you closer to that goal. Dr. Brian Clement is the author of Quantum Human, an easy-to-read guide to wellness that provides a historic and scientifically validated roadmap on how to stop aging, prevent disease, and getting the most out of life.
Our many years of research have led us to realize how important it is to pay attention to our foods, our thoughts, and the activities we participate in. And more important is our relationships and sense of community.
Dr. Clement's message is one of empowerment. He says that each of us can harness energy and raise our biofrequency through conscious actions. And by doing so, we can heal ourselves and contribute to a more harmonious and connected world.
It's no mystery in Quantum Human we have explored the science of energy healing and the human potential and show how everyone can improve their lives and take their health back.
For more information, visit BrianClementPhD.com.
It's been 5 years since the COVID-19 pandemic began, yet nurses continue to face significant stress and burnout. Brendan Martin, Research Director for the National Council of State Boards of Nursing, or NCSBN, has more.
The nursing community is facing persistent challenges, with nurses continuing to leave the field in record numbers. In fact, our 2024 National Nursing Workforce Study finds nearly 2 in 5 nurses plan to leave the profession by 2029.
More than 138,000 nurses left the profession since 2022, and a lot more nurses intend to leave the field within the next 5 years. Nurses face similar challenges across all levels and experience.
40% of nurses expressed that stress and burnout are among the top reasons for considering a job change. They also mentioned heavy workloads, understaffing, and feeling underpaid contributed to their desire to leave.
For more information on the National Council of State Boards of Nursing 2024 Workforce Study, visit ncsbn.org/workforce.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And if you'd like to access the archives of the Alan Nathan Show, just go to www.mainstreetradionetwork.com. We have our next guest, and he happens to be an award-winning journalist, media strategist, former CNBC and Fox News business anchor, and the host of the What's Bugging Me podcast, hosted by the Ricochet Network. He's author of The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. Not according to AOC. She doesn't think he's very smart. Dennis Neal, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
And thanks for this opportunity. You know, I got to wonder, when I started on this book, Elon Musk hadn't been declared public enemy number one or ally with Donald Trump. And I wonder if I had titled this The Leadership Failures instead of Genius of Elon Musk. Might I sell even more copies? Because goodness, he certainly has become the lightning rod.
Well, thank God that you tell the truth. The left can turn on a dime. My God, they used to be anti-war and pro-free speech. I mean, there's a litany of things that they flipped on a dime. They used to love Elon Musk because he made electric cars, and now they want to blow up his company. And they're not doing a very good job of it as of now, thank God. You're here, though, to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and I hate to admit this, but no, I don't. I have a Doge T-shirt. I love Doge. I do. I love it. It is what every limited government conservative has fantasized about, and here we're watching it. And a lot of people are a little concerned about Doge once Elon Musk leaves. Talk about that, and then also we're going to leave room in this short segment to talk about your book as well.
Sure. Okay, so regarding Doge, let's keep in mind Elon is cutting back to 2 days a week. He was kind of, you know, kind of told by his board, you know, get on back here at Tesla and start focusing on this company because we've been beat up like crazy. I think his net worth went down more than $100 billion in the response to Tesla just for his heading Doge and allying with Trump, but especially the Doge thing. Whoever thought, Karen, that cutting government waste would be such a thing to be opposed by protesters getting paid to show up and carry picket signs? It's kind of strange. Now, Elon Musk.
I know why. The people that have been benefiting from the corruption are the ones who want to shut it down. I know. It takes a rocket scientist to figure that out, right?
Those whose ox is getting gored, exactly.
Yes.
So now he's cutting to 2 days a week. But what that allows him to do is that, you know, you're allowed to do 130 days as a special envoy without getting checked out, verified, having to be, you know, vetted. So that extends his time to have at least a hand in for a longer period of time because he's cutting back to 2 days a week instead of 7 days a week.
Good.
Right? That's a good thing. But also,
that is.
Great leadership requires that you put in place those who will execute your vision and your approach. And certainly he's done that. He's got some really talented guys in there. And let's remember, he's really good at reduce. That's the second lesson of my 11 lessons of Elon. He cut 80% of staff at Twitter within a matter of weeks, and 2 weeks later hosted 140 billion impressions on the World Cup. So those people really were not necessary to running the company. Now, the Democrats are looking at any cut, every cut, as cutting, really wonderful things. When the Biden administration itself, there was an inspector report that came out late in 24, and it estimated that the waste spending in Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security was some $570 billion a year. And why can't we cut that? Medicaid is now the number one, number two budget line in many states, most states. And yet, do you know that people who earn $100,000 a year are able to get Medicaid in some cases?
You know what, Dennis? Waste is nothing compared to the level of corruption that is underlying the waste. You know, I mean, I'm chomping at the bit. Not that I mean to contradict what you're saying, but we say nice things when what we really mean is that even the ridiculous names like vasectomies in some faraway place, whatever it is, that money never even gets to that cause because it's going for bullying, bribery, and blackmail in this country. And that that needs to be corroborated, and that is on my part. But you know what? The average Joe thinks that that's what's been going on. Tell me where I'm wrong.
That's a feeling. Right. I had a feeling. Well, we now know that billions of dollars in USAID that goes out to these NGOs, 7,000 NGOs get 90% of the money spent. And we now know that billions of it are round-tripping back to the U.S. We also know from Secretary of the Treasury Scott Bessent that the government sent out 1.5 billion payments of various kinds last year. Half a billion of those, one-third, have no tracking number to be able to know where the money went.
How about that? How about that?
You could track all of that, and they weren't doing it. They're not doing it on purpose. And no wonder, like you say, people who are getting, you know, their corrupt supply line of cash feeding at the trough is getting hurt. And by the way, it's why people in both parties are opposing these.
Without a doubt. Money greases the wheels for Faustian bargains and all kinds of things. I wish I had more time, but I want to take a fair amount of time, which is the same subject, about your book and what it – give us one juicy tidbit about what it reveals about Elon Musk. And the book is What's Bugging Me. No, wait, that's your podcast. The book, I just plugged that. The Leadership Genius of Elon Musk. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. Well, 11 lessons I offer, one per chapter, for us to follow to know how he did what he did and succeeded, but also we could build a better life. A lesson, I think 9 or 10 says, hey, dream huge and be willing to spend decades pursuing it. And a lot of us, we don't dream huge enough because we're afraid of failing. And Elon welcomes failure as a necessary step to success. When he went to Russia 25 years ago, I interview a guy who took him to Russia so he could try to buy 2 rockets at $2 million apiece. They asked him what he wanted for. He said, I want to go to Mars. He's wearing a T-shirt. He's a young guy. The rest, they look at him, they think, who is this little boy? That they call him that in Russian. He doesn't know it. And then the chief engineer spits on his shoes. And Elon, who said he has Asperger's and doesn't communicate well sometimes, looks at James Cantrell, the guy who brought him there, and he says, he just spit on my shoes. I think he means that as disrespect. Cantrell confirmed this. Yes, that's what he means. And then the Russians turn him down. Elon decides to do him himself. He decides the rocket is nothing more than...
I got only about 30 seconds, so hurry.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. 25 years later, he's closer than ever to getting us there to Mars.
I'm telling you. Everybody get his book, Dennis Neal. That's K-N-E-A-L-E. He's also got a podcast, What's Bugging Me, on the Ricochet Network. Thank you, Dennis Neal, for joining us. We so appreciate your time, and I can't wait to talk to you again. There he goes. We are going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll have J.D. Hayworth joining us. If we get a hold of him at, you know, we have that trouble sometimes. It's a live on tape show. That's what it is. We'll be right back after this.
So Zuzu is the story of an adorable hermit crab that actually mistakes a piece of plastic for its shell. There's a short film on joinzuzu.com that is this extraordinary short film about Zuzu's story. But also there's a petition online where people can go and easily, in just moments, sign this petition to advocate for federal EPR legislation. This is so important because this allows us to create a national strategy of collective action to scale up a solution to fix the recycling problem in this country. So I partnered with SE Johnson on the Zuzu movement because SE Johnson is one of those rare companies that is out at the forefront of this issue and pushing to recognize that companies have a responsibility to play in the system. It's not just about consumers recycling. Companies and the products that they create need to be recyclable. They need to take responsibility for the life cycle of those products, and that's what SE Johnson is doing. And for more information, go to joinzuzu.com and sign the petition.
The fan favorite series Leverage Redemption returns for its third season April 17th on Prime Video. The show follows a team of reformed criminals who prove sometimes it's good to be bad as they use their less than legal skills to help those in need fight back against the rich and powerful. In season 3, the team pits themselves against a power broker stealing the town's clean water, a pool hustler with a side business in international extortion, and a corrupt mayor who's the judge and jury of his small town, all while dodging a plan of vengeance from a past enemy. But no matter what, when someone needs help, they provide the leverage. Ali Shannon plays Brianna Casey, a brilliant engineer and hacker.
Audiences will love this new season. It's filled with big surprises, major action, lots of humor, and as always, a lot of heart. My character Brianna is still learning about the world of cons, but she brings her own spin to everything, snarky humor, it's high tech, and she helps the team stop some truly awful people.
Don't miss Leverage Redemption, April 17th on Prime Video.
Wow. Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline. We have one of our many great guests on the line right now. He is a star, former Congressman J.D. Hayworth, Republican from Arizona, 5th District. He's a former Newsmax anchor and owner of the Great 48th Group, a consulting service for communications and public policy. He's co-author of Whatever It Takes, Illegal Immigration, Border Security, and the War on Terror. J.D. Hayworth, what a pleasure to have you on our program.
Wow, Karen, to be greeted by you, a member of the Corps of Guest Starring Hosts. See, I don't call us fill-ins. Or guest hosts, we're guest stars.
Well,
guest
good stars,
to be
I don't
you,
know
Karen.
About that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, sure, with your background in theater and with that great voice, yes, you're the guest star for the militant moderate today, and I'm honored to be with you.
Oh, boy, are you just filling my head here. There's so many things we could talk about with everything going on with illegal immigration, the book you wrote. But here, you're here to talk about finally drug prices coming down. Thank you, Donald Trump. As I've said, because of Donald Trump, the extraordinary is in danger of becoming ordinary because there is so much going on that is good news. It's like my birthday every day. talk about what he's doing with drug policy that made people, you know, do the 360 and go, what? Oh, yeah. Yes, he can do that, right?
Well, Karen, you know that our friend Alan, as the militant moderate, says, look, a lot of guys who say, look, I just want to see a problem solved. And so first, let's understand the context for the solutions that the president and his bipartisan, really his nonpartisan team across the ideological spectrum has formulated. First of all,
yes.
I believe it was Benjamin Disraeli, as the British prime minister years ago said, I must follow the people. After all, am I not their leader? And, you know, last year when we would go to we would be doing talk shows in election season and everybody would talk about the polarization and Democrats and Republicans being at everybody's throat. Well, the Kaiser Family Foundation did a poll in an election year. Listen to the numbers. 89% of Republicans, 84% of Democrats, 78, almost 80% of independents, right? You'll give me that. 78% of independents, they all as one voice said, Big Pharma focuses on profits, really over public health, focuses on profits. And when you take a look, President Trump is a capitalist. He believes in profits, but not in profiteering. And the fact is, Big Pharma has put Americans last. And when we are paying, on average, what, three times what other advanced industrialized countries, our Canadian neighbors or our European cousins, when we're footing the bill for the world, in essence, something is wrong with that picture. And so Donald Trump's solution, and of course, we think this executive order is incredibly promising, and we await the details to be worked out by Congress. But let me give it up to RFK Jr. in a bipartisan way. We said that Reagan was the great communicator, but you know, RFK Jr. has really a talent for making the complex simple. He wrote a recent column, and he said, this executive order is simple yet transformative. Uh-huh. Other developed nations must pay more so Americans can pay less, thus preserving the innovation pipeline, and it will end global free riding on American patients. So that's the idea. It's common sense to put Americans first. If you govern the United States of America, that's what this nonpartisan coalition is doing. That's why it's called common sense.
Touché. Well said. You know, what goes around comes around in the sense philosophically that when the left accuses everyone of income inequality, but and illegals being weak and difficult and victims. Illegals are victims, but when white immigrants, I'm saying too much at one time, but when white immigrants come here because they truly are refugees, they're not entitled to equality. And when America is getting shafted, can I say that? Yes. With drug prices, they don't believe in equality then. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's curious. Sure. Yeah. The
Marxism.
The of politics. Yeah.
Yes.
And, yeah, what you're
exactly.
Is a big the M word. Yeah. It gets crazy. But this is why and why I cited those poll statistics. Not that we should slavishly follow polls, but what has happened with this executive order and so much else of what President Trump is doing, it is common sense to put Americans first.
Well,
and
absolutely.
So the squawking in Washington and the American taxpayer has been called upon to fund so much. And, you know, we hear from Big Pharma, the top 10 biggest of the Big Pharma companies, you know, they spent $36 billion on marketing, on marketing than they did on research and development. And you stop and think that the American people, through their tax dollars, have funded so much research and development under the auspices of government, but in reality, redounding to the help of Big Pharma. And moreover, people say, well, what about generics? Yeah, what about them? Sadly, Big Pharma has engaged in practices that delay taking certain drugs and declaring their generic status, thereby bringing down costs to the American people. So across the board, it's called Big Pharma for a reason. They have arbitrarily set all their prices, far exceeding the rate of inflation in so many cases. And so you got that, and you got to do something. That's what the American people want. That's what those of us at the Pharmaceutical Reform Alliance want.
Right.
By the way, Karen, your listeners can find out more at our website, PharmaReformAlliance.com. That's PharmaReformAlliance.com.
Wonderful. You know radio. You know, I think the people, one last point here, and there's so many.
Sure.
The people really got on board and understood what the Democrats used to understand about Big Pharma when they made the connection that the massive advertising of drugs for diseases we haven't even discovered yet was not for the disease, but for paying off the media companies so they wouldn't say anything negative about Big Pharma. I mean, I think people finally figured that out. What do you think?
Well, Karen, it's like this. The American, you know, free speech isn't free when you and I pay for it. And the American people can be forgiven if we realize that money is fungible. And if we're paying the bills again and again for the rest of the world and even for research and development here at home, where those top 10 large pharmaceutical companies, the big pharma guys, only fund about 17% of it? Look, something's wrong with that picture, and the American public should not be paying out of its pocket for the rest of the world to the tune where some people have to choose between food and medicine. That ain't right.
Exactly, exactly. So where do people hear you these days?
What was that the late, great Paul Harvey said? That traveling microphone. And so when I'm doing shows around the country, you can read about it. You can find me on LinkedIn.com. Also, you can listen to a station near you. That's the best way to say it without direct promotion of competition.
You're allowed to do that. Yes.
Karen.
Yeah. I will connect with you on LinkedIn. I don't get on there too often, but when somebody I know. Are you on X, Twitter as well?
Let's see. Forgive me. I tell you what's more important is obviously the Pharmaceutical Reform Alliance. And again, you can find them on X. and of course, and on LinkedIn as well, X for Pharma Reform INC and LinkedIn Pharmaceutical Reform Alliance. And again, great, the website, PharmaReformAlliance.com. That's PharmaReformAlliance.com.
Just, you know, because we have, what, 30 seconds. They must really be pleased that Donald Trump has paid attention to this and giving the kind of relief to Americans that we've needed for so long. J.D. Hayworth.
Thank you, Karen. Great to be with you.
So appreciate your time. All right. Take care. We'll be listening for you. That's for sure. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more on the Al and Nathan Show right after this on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
A new national survey reveals a surprising gap between what Americans believe about dental care and what they actually do. Many say they want to keep their natural teeth for life, but their habits often don't match that goal. Dr. Stephen Katz, president of the American Association of Endodontists, explains.
Most adults say they care about keeping their natural teeth, and nearly 9 in 10 believe flossing is important. But almost 60% don't floss daily, and more than 2 in 5 wait to see a dentist until they're already in pain. These delays can lead to serious dental problems.
Tooth pain doesn't have to mean tooth loss. When problems do arise, there's hope and help from a dental specialist known as an endodontist to help save your natural teeth.
That's correct. Endodontists are specialists in saving natural teeth through root canal therapy. With the right care, even a tooth that hurts or is infected can frequently be saved. But the key is acting early. Don't wait for pain.
Learn more at findmyendodontist.com. A new AARP fraud report highlights the need for better cybersecurity habits. Kathy Stokes is the director of fraud prevention programs with AARP's Fraud Watch Network.
Fraud is becoming increasingly sophisticated, yet many Americans may still be unaware of habits that can decrease their risk. Now, millions of adults have downloaded unverified apps, or they've taken social media quizzes from questionable sources, and millions have yet to enable multi-factor authentication, which is an easy step that offers additional protection for online accounts.
The good news is that protecting yourself doesn't require a tech background.
Simple steps like updating your passwords, using a VPN on public Wi-Fi, and turning on security features can help keep your information safe.
For more on how to protect yourself from the latest scams, visit aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. That's aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep for naps and at night, to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
Hmm. You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True. But now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we are delighted to wrap up this hour with an investigative journalist and filmmaker. She directed the award-winning 2010 documentary Vanishing of the Bees and founded honeycolony.com, a thriving online health magazine and marketplace. Her latest documentary is The Real Timeline on George Floyd, and it's available on My Movies Plus. She also has a book out, her latest book, Operation George Floyd, a Multi-Layered PSYOP Exposed. Mariam Henine, I think that's correct, Henine, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Hi there. Thank you for having me. It's Henine.
Henine.
And the movie is actually available on my website in DVD and Blu-ray.
Wonderful.
Because it's been suppressed. It's being suppressed because the truth is too dangerous.
Wow. First, give us the name of your website again so we know where to find it.
Yes, please. It's Mariam Henine. So M-A-R-Y-A-M as in Mary, H-E-N as in Nancy, E-I-N as in Nancy.com.
Com.
And they can find the movie and book there.
Yeah. I'm going to cut to the chase because people know we lived through it, most of us, the George Floyd story and how it was used to affect all kinds of the fellow who is currently in prison who got abused in prison, Derek Chauvin. People are talking about the president pardoning him, and everybody's waiting for riots to happen. Let's start there, and maybe we'll backtrack using your book.
Sure. Yes, we're looking at an imminent Summer of Love sequel. And anyone who covered the trial, which I did every single day of Derek, he did not get a fair trial. It would look like he actually was winning, but it was so maligned and very few people paid attention to the details. And this event, if we all recall, that we went from virus to violence overnight, and this was used as a color revolution to topple statues and rewrite our history. That's on one level, but there's many layers as to why this event was so historic.
Mm. Well, give us a couple examples. You have a lot to share. And again, people really had hunches about this. I mean, they were imprisoning law-abiding citizens in their homes,
yeah.
And they were letting prisoners out of jail under the guise of COVID. It was insane and horrific what we watched happen.
That's right. We are criminalizing law-abiding citizens, and we are glorifying criminals. And this was used even, I would say, to get more vaccines into the arms of the number one vaccine-hesitant community, the Black community. In my book, there is ties to the Podesta Group, hush money, money laundering, Mexican cartel involvement. So the book has been suppressed. I mean, the movie has been out for more than a year and a half, and it's been suppressed by the left and the right because it's too dangerous.
Why would the right suppress it, do you think?
I don't think. I know.
Okay. I was about to correct myself.
Because the true identity of even Derek has been hidden, and to be honest, I mean, it's both sides of the same coin. Sorry if that's controversial.
Oh, no, please. You are our guest, and we're not the people, and we don't march in lockstep. Constitutional conservatives are not the people that go around trying to censor people and abuse their First Amendment rights. So go ahead, be as candid as you care to be.
Well, my book reveals the true identity of Derek. I believe that Derek is ultimately a patsy. If you consider, why did they send him to a jail where there's a lot of gang leaders, and we still do not know to this day, a year and a half, the details of the shanking. The FBI informant gone rogue, Mexican cartel leader John Tursak, a.k.a. Stranger, is only willing to talk to me, the bee lady. But because I've been so censored, I can't get his story out there. He knows that the prostitutes and parrots lie and that I'm an actual journalist.
Wow. Well, you know, if hadn't seen so many other hoaxes and Emperor's New Clothes stories. I mean, the one that's coming out right now about Biden's health, both physically and psychologically and cerebrally, whatever. I mean, the level to which these people were willing to go that used human beings as cannon fodder in their agenda, you know, once you recognize, you can't unsee those things. Once you see a pattern, and yet there are a lot of people who resist telling the truth about it. What do we need to know about, it's overwhelming, really. I mean, all we can do is get people to read your book and decide for themselves. But what's one thing that you really want people to know and leave from this interview with that you know and you don't think we do?
Well, one, this is like a Russian doll. You open one doll and then you find another one in how deep it goes. By reading my book, you can have a good sense on how these operations are multi-layered and are arguably written in to sow division. Someone who reads my book will find out about the hush money, will find out about the hidden training day that nobody knows about, will find out about the Epicenter cup food that was conveniently left out. I mean, the stuff in my book is nowhere on the planet found. What can I say?
Do you think that Derek Chauvin will be pardoned by Donald Trump and then they'll try to tamp down violence? What do you think is going to happen this summer? And we wouldn't hold you to it because you're not a soothsayer, but what do you think?
I believe that, well, two of the officers have already been released. Tutau will be next. And yes, there
Correct.
Will be a motion to release Derek.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for your courage in doing your work. And people need to get this book and read it, Operation George Floyd, A Multi-Layered PSYOP Exposed. Maryam Hanain, thank you so much for joining us here on The Alan Nathan Show. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Well, we're going to take a top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll have a whole nother hour of The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.